Morning again. Happy Father's Day to the dads here. We're going to watch a video clip, okay? That will emphasize how important fathers are. Okay, so just watch this clip. You know, usually during Father's Day, I think fathers feel like they've done a bad job. But today, we really want to honor fathers. I think it's the most difficult job. There are no textbooks. There are no manuals. I think the truth is we learn along the way. Today, I want to four of us, okay, myself and my band of brothers would like to bring to you our thoughts about leaving an inheritance for our children. It's taken from Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. But let me take you back to the year 2008. 11 May 2008, Mother's Day. Instead of my wife getting a gift, I received a gift instead, the gift of a book. Some of you may have read it. It's The Last Lecture. It's written by Randy Pausch. It was given to me by Faith. And inside, she wrote quite a lengthy note for me. But just want to highlight one part of what she wrote inside the book. She asked this question: if Jeremy were to write a book about his life, about his relationship with Sujen, about his journey in fatherhood, how would the book sound and look like? I hope faith is not asking me to write a book. If Jeremy were to write a book, if you were to write a book, Dad, about your life, about your relationship with your wife, about your experience as a father, what kind of book would you write? Let me talk to you about Randy Pausch. Randy Pausch was a professor of computer science and human-computer interaction. I don't know what that is. Human-computer interaction and design at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. In September 2006, Randy learned the sad news that he had pancreatic cancer. In August 2007, 11 months later, he was given a terminal diagnosis. He was told, "You have 3 to 6 months of good health left." 3 to 6 months. What would a man do in a situation like this? If you were told you have 3 to 6 months of good health left, what would you do? What Randy did was unusual. He decided to give a lecture. And in his book, he said, all parents want to teach their children right from wrong. What we think is important, and how to deal with the challenges that life will bring. We also want them to know some stories of our own lives, often as a way to teach them how to lead theirs. All parents have this desire. And so, on September 18, 2007, Randy gave this very uplifting lecture, an upbeat lecture which he entitled "The Last Lecture, Really Achieving Your Childhood Dreams" at Carnegie Mellon University. And in this book, which was a follow-up to that lecture, he gave his reasons for doing so. Let me just read. This is what he said. "While for the most part I'm in terrific physical shape," he did push-ups on stage, yeah, "I have 10 tumors in my liver. 10 tumors in my liver. And I have only a few months to live. I am a father of 3 young children. And married to the woman of my dreams." I can identify with that. "While I could easily feel sorry for myself, that wouldn't do them or me any good. So how to spend my very limited time? The obvious part is being with and taking care of my family. While I still can, I embrace every moment with them and do the logistical things necessary to ease their path into a life without me. The less obvious part is how to teach my children what I would have taught them over the next 20 years. They are too young now to have those conversations. All parents want to teach their children right from wrong. What we think is important and how to deal with the challenges that life will bring. We also want them to know some stories of our own lives, often as a way to teach them how to lead theirs. My desire to do that led me to give a last lecture at Carnegie Mellon University. These lectures are routinely videotaped. I knew what I was doing that day. under the ruse of giving an academic lecture, I was trying to put myself in a bottle that would one day wash up on the beach for my children. If I were a painter, I would have painted for them. If I were a musician, I would have composed music. But I am a lecturer, so I lecture. And this was the comment in the New York Times after his fantastic, his upbeat, uplifting lecture. New York Times commented, this man was dying of cancer, but he was full of life lessons. You see, Randy Pausch wanted to leave a legacy for his children. He wanted to leave an inheritance for his children. He wanted to pass on to them instructions on how to live well, how to live a good life. Randy eventually passed away on 25th July 2008. 5 months longer than the 6 months the doctor had given him. Randy was a child of God. He went to be with his Creator. He went with the satisfaction and fulfillment that he had done his part in preparing his children for their life. He had the satisfaction of knowing that he had passed on to them a legacy of wisdom. Right on cue. So when Faith gave me the book, Faith wanted me to think. She was trying to provoke thinking in me. That's why I have all this gray hair. She wanted me to think about this new role that I have just stepped into, the role of a father. She wanted me to think not about just living in the present, but also in the days ahead. She wanted me to think about the kind of legacy I want to leave for my children. Although at that time only Joelle had been born. What kind of inheritance do I want to leave them? Proverbs 13:22. Solomon said, A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Not just to the children, but to the children's children, unto the third generation. You know, it is never too early to start thinking about it, fathers. Never too early. Some of you might be wondering, what's this? My wife didn't give me a Father's Day present, so I punched her. Surgery for a trigger thumb. But, you know, at my age, I'm starting to feel pain. Yeah. I'm having all kinds of pains and aches. My body is not as strong as before. Even if you're young, you're just a new dad, it's not too early to think about what you want to leave your children. You know, and the good news is this, you get to decide. You and I get to decide what kind of legacy we want to give them. We do not have to leave it to chance. We get to decide. We get to decide what we want to pass on to our children. You know, the truth is this. We will pass on something to our children and to our children's children. We will pass on. The question is what they will learn from us. They will receive from us. The question is what. And so leaving a legacy means to live beyond your lifetime. And, you know, someone once said this, the goal isn't to live forever. The goal is to create something that will live forever. And I like what someone said, legacy is not leaving something for people. It is leaving something in people. Not just leaving for people, but leaving something in people. It means to leave more than just material wealth. It means to leave something that is of spiritual value. And when I think about it as a father, I think about leaving my children two things. An anchor for their life, so that their life will be stable, there's stability in their life, and a compass for them, so that their life will always be pointed in the right direction, in God's direction. So they will live their lives with a purpose, with a godly purpose. So what kind of legacy do I want to leave my children? And today, instead of just having me to share, I have three of my brothers, my band of brothers. Good men. Wise men. Capable men. Upright, righteous men. Men who love their wives. Men who are devoted to their children. Men who want to pass on good things to their children. A spiritual inheritance, a godly legacy. So I'm going to call the first among equals, Suhin, to come and share what he wants to leave his children.
Can I have my good morning, church? I always call my brother here Rabbi because he's so knowledgeable, and you ask him anything, it's like a walking Bible, can explain to you anytime. But today he is trying to put me on the spot. Not that because I have cancer, I'm going to die and delivering my last lecture, but I thank him for putting me on the spot so that I can reassess my role and how I've been performing as a father in God's eyes. Okay, this slide is very interesting. Do we know what is that? A wine glass. Okay. I received this as a gift from Caitlin, my eldest daughter, as a Christmas gift. 2015 Christmas, we had a dinner with another family, and in front of everybody, she gave me this, and what's written there? One day, I'll find my prince, but my dad will always be my king. Oh, that was inspiring. The initial feeling was, woo, king. Oh. But a second thought sent chill through my spine, and I started to think, what kind of king I am and what kind of king I've been. Have I been a good king? Have I been a king that practiced tyranny? Have I been a king that showed bad example? And let me think, and it makes me think, what kind of inheritance I want to leave behind for my subjects, who are my three children. Well, next slide, please. Where is that? You're hiding something from me. Okay. 15 years ago, I married this lovely lady, and there's nothing much in common between us as individuals, you know. And physically, she got sharp nose, I got flat nose. She got big, beautiful eyes, I got small, nippy eyes. Okay, she got curly hair, but in this picture, she straightened her hair, but I got very straight and spiky hair. Well, personality-wise, it's completely different. She's a melancholic, choleric. I'm a phlegmatic. sanguine. Basically, just want to have fun and do nothing. But I thank God we share the same value in life. The value that is deeply rooted in God and in Christ. And we are blessed with these three children, Caitlin, Caleb, and Carolyn. And I show this picture because this picture was inspired by the last lecture that I read, the book written by Randy Pausch that mentioned by Jeremy just now. After reading this book, I want to do something I wanted to do something different, because in the book he mentioned that he took picture carrying all his children on him, you know. So I decided to do the same thing before they get too heavy. Okay, so there you are. Caitlin was on my back, Caleb was on my shoulder, and Caroline was with my arm. If you ask me to do today, I'll be delivering the last lecture now. Okay, so I was very stressed when Jeremy asked me to come to share what I want to leave behind for my children, because basically I don't like to talk in the public because I need to do some preparation which I don't like. So I asked, there's so many things I want to pass on to my children, you know, but at this time and season, I think the inheritance that Rina and I want to pass on to the children is a very strong and healthy marriage. Why strong and healthy marriage? Because in the process of building a strong and healthy marriage, there are so many things you can pass on to your children. There are so many inheritance that they can receive from you. But children feel safe and secure when we have strong marriage. They find comfort and refuge in their home. And they're willing to share their problems, tell their feeling, no matter how difficult it is to us. And that will build a culture in them in the future for their family and the generations to come. And they get to learn true meaning of love, which is not based on fairy tale or romantic story, which Rina likes to read a lot. There's no such thing as they live happily ever after. They get to learn that what true love is. True love is, well, mommy and daddy can argue in the morning and they say sorry and forgive each other in the evening, and they get to know each other better and they get to love each other better. That's true love. True love is when they see the half-boiled egg in the morning that mommy made for them. I'm getting emotional. And talking about love, I get emotional. I don't know why. And true love is the muffin that daddy baked for them. And true love is when daddy says sorry to you. And through this strong marriage, they get to learn about forgiveness. They get to learn about acceptance of one another. And they know that forgiveness is key in a family life. And I remember about 2 years ago when we moved to a new place, there are a lot of stress in us. Rina and I, a lot of new changes. Her mom moved to Ipoh, and the maid left after working with us for 10 years. And there was a lot of stress. And that short period of time within that month, there are a lot of argument and some cross-firing between us. And to make the matter worse, was a few times was in front of the children. And one day, I was really raised my voice and verbally aggressive in front of the children. And after that, I prayed and I felt that I should ask forgiveness from her. So I went to Rina and asked forgiveness from her. And at the dining table, I said sorry to all the children, asked them to forgive me. And I told them that this is not a behavior that's acceptable in a family life. And that's how they learn, through healthy marriage, good marriage. And they also learn to show care, to learn to care and show affection to one another, to the people around them. And And Caitlin shared with me yesterday because of the sharing, so I get to interview quite a lot. I get to interview my children a lot because of this sharing. I have to interview them to get some ideas out of them. She told me once she went out with some of her ex-classmates, and she's the only one who said thank you to the waiters and helped the waiter to clean up the place after they finished their meal. And I was very touched and surprised. Why? I was touched because she's been practicing what I'm teaching them. I think it's partly because of the modeling I've shown her. And I make it a point to say thank you to the waiters and waitresses whenever I was served and when they take away the plates or whatever. And I enjoy talking to them in their languages, in Hindi, Tamil, or Indonesian or whatever. And according to the children, I try to show off my prowess in languages, but actually not. I just want to make them feel at home. And strong marriage, we are able to make the children understand how God loves them. Because many places in Bible, God say that He calls us to be His family. By having a strong and good relationship with my wife and a healthy relationship in the family, they'll be able to understand that better. And I don't want to take up too much of your time. Okay. And in conclusion, I'm going to show you this picture. This was Caitlin when she was 1 month plus. And there she is at this moment. And this is Caleb when she was just born, and how she looks right now. And this is Carolyn. The reason of me showing this photo is because I want to remind myself and all the fathers here is they grow very fast. You know, when I used to watch some movies and they show some flashback when I was a child, that from child all of a sudden they grow, become adult, they got married, they got old. I thought, these are all rubbish. How can the time pass by so fast? But after becoming a father, I realized that, it's pretty true. And so, cherish the moment, and the time is now. Don't wait. Teach them when you can, and enjoy them and love them whenever you want. Thank you.
Just through him. So I say he's a good man, very authentic. But you notice he dances when he preaches. The dancing reverend. Next, I want to call Father Abraham. He introduced himself once as Father Abraham because his son is Isaac. So Boonwei, come and share with us.
Good morning, everyone. We're talking about last lecture. This is my first lecture. When Jeremy was saying all the things about the people who are going to come forward to speak, I was wondering whether I got the wrong day. I'm barely the person that he describes. So, my name is Boonwei, and this is my family. We attend church here, and that's my wife, and that's my son, Isaac. So this was taken when he was about 8 months old. So he's much more mobile these days. And you'll probably see him at the end of church today. He'll be running past you. He doesn't walk. He doesn't crawl anymore. He only runs from place to place. So Jeremy asked the group of us to talk about legacy, which we leave for our children. In my case, my son. And most people in this world would want to leave money for the children, you know, a house, some property or business, all right? But we as Christians, we are different, all right? So when I thought about this, I thought of the question which Jeremy asked, what legacy would you leave for your son? And the answer would be either the right answer or the true answer. So the right answer would be the correct answer. You know it in your mind, but the true answer is you know it in your heart. So hopefully our answer will be both right and true. And my thought was taken to this verse in Matthew chapter 6. It says that do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I want to leave something that lasts, something eternal for my son. And for me, it will be pointing him in the right direction. So the day we found out that we were expecting was the day I knew my life would change. And I couldn't imagine how much it would change. It was something we have been waiting for a long time. But when that day arrived, it was everything and more than I could imagine. It was the happiest day of my life, but it was also the scariest day of my life. Because I knew that here was this bundle, which would be my responsibility and my wife's responsibility. And at the when we get to heaven, we have to answer for it. You know, we are accountable to what my son turns out to be. So, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Alright? So, that is the instruction from God. Alright? But children being children, they are not so easily trainable. At an early age, this is when he was, 8 months old. He had his own ideas already. He knew what he wanted to do. And if you turn your eye for a moment, he'll be up to some mischief. And then when you see him, and when you approach him, he gives you this disarming smile, and then you forget what you're supposed to do already. So we know that it's going to be difficult. People say, like father, like son. Well, I don't hear that so often, because I think my son looks more like my wife than me. But in terms of character and personality, I think he's a bit more like me, maybe unfortunately. I would rather he be like the Heavenly Father than like me. So that's a picture of us praying. Right. So how do you teach a child about God? You know, it's a concept which is not tangible. They don't see it. They probably don't hear it even though you say it often. All right. So children copy you. Monkey see, monkey do. All right. And the only person they see are their parents for most times. All right, they are the world's best camcorder. Sometimes I forget myself and I say something or I do something and before you know it, he's already doing it already. And it's very hard to change that. So the only way is to be a model myself. All right, so I have to model myself. I realize that I have to be more Christ-like. And that can only be done if I spend more time in study of God's word and in prayer. So I have to exert my influence on him. And to be influential, I need to spend more time and more attention. More time is not enough. It has to be more attention as well. You can spend time with your son while he's doing his thing and you are doing your thing. Without attention, it doesn't work as well. So, more time, more attention. And time is quality. There's no such thing as quality time. All right? There's only time. Quality time is a concept which is introduced to us by the modern world, the instant world, where you have devices that let you do more things in less time. But in the end, you have just less time and you don't do the most important thing. So I realize I have to come home as soon as I can. I have to spend as much time as I can when my son is awake, you know, and actually spend time with him. Turn my attention away from the idiot box, away from my phone, you know, and just play with him or just look at him, you know. So, because at the end of the day, when I'm on my deathbed, when I'm delivering my last lecture, you know, my boss, my colleagues, are not going to be there to praise me for the good job I'm doing. But it will be my family. So, the people who matter most to me. So, no matter what great things I may be able to do, if my son doesn't love the Lord, then my life would be in vain. So, Ephesians 6:4 says, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So nurture talks about love and admonition talks about discipline. So it has to be a balance of both. So my son needs to be trained to obey. All right. But then just only discipline it will not work. I need to love him unconditionally. And if both of these are in balance, then I think everything will be all right. So in the days where there'll be stormy weather, it'll be all right. So in summary, the legacy I want to live is the life that I must live right now. To be a good husband, to give you a good son, to give you a good father, to be a good worker, to be a good colleague, to be a good friend. And all this I know I can do only through Christ who strengthens me. But I would not be a father without a mother. All right. So just a little note to say thank you. And for all that she has done and all she's going to do. All right. Because there are no fathers if there are no mothers. So once again, we won't get tired of hearing it. So happy Father's Day. Because you get to only say it one day in a year.
Thank you so much, Boon Wei. I think you have just earned yourself a regular spot as a preacher. I'm very good at setting up people. And finally, we hear from the disciple that Jesus loves, John.
Good morning, Church. When Jeremy approached me to share what is the legacy that I want to leave for my children, I really struggle. Just like that man just now, I asked God, God, if you take me tomorrow, what is the things that I want to leave most to my children? I really struggle, and the last 72 hours has been full of whirlwind where God has reminded me again and again that there are three things that I need to leave, three traits I need to leave for my children. Number one, Sarah, Joshua, and Isabel, you must always honor God in everything that you do. Second thing, glorify God with all your hearts. And number three, fear God. So these are the three things that God has impressed upon me to impress upon my children. And for many years, I have been doing this diligently. And I thank God that my wife has been there all the while. She's a disciplinarian. And she's the one that enforces all the rules and regulations in the home. Whereas I'm the happy-go-lucky. But I thank God for her because she reminded me again of these three traits. So to do what they need to do, what is the thing that they need to know? What is the thing that they will guide them? So we go back to the Bible. The Bible is the basis of the Word of God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit at the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the word of the Lord, and in his word he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that will bear its fruits in its seasons, and its leaves shall not wither. And whatever he does, he shall prosper. Remember Psalms 1. It's very, very powerful. And if you speak that Psalms to your children, it will come to pass. So number two, when you have the word of God, it is important so that you know who you are and you know who our God is. And from then on, when you know who God is, you will spend time with him. And when you spend time with him, you spend time in the secret place of the Most High. And that's where the voice of God will come. And the voice of God is powerful in Psalms 29. And I remember when you hear the voice of God, the other day I was talking to my CG. You know, I wonder why God never appears to us, just like that. Why is it that sometimes when we ask for certain direction, guidance, you have to wait upon the Lord? And then God showed me in 1 Kings 19:11-12, God was speaking to Elijah. Then God said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broken the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. You know, God speaks to us in a still, small voice. And I was reminded again and again and again that you need to spend time with God in a secret place. And that's where when God speaks, He will give you the direction. So, you know what to do. So, lastly, Sarah, Joshua, and Isabel, remember again, honor God with all your heart. Glorify Him with all your might. And fear Him, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Thank you.
Thank you, John. There are a few more brothers in my cell group. Cheng Hock is not sharing today. He will one day take a full message. I promised him that. Cheng Hock, are you here? Yeah, he's there. I want to continue by talking about the legacy that my father had left me. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance for their children's children. And that picture is, I think, 40, at least 46 years, 46, 47 years old. I'm that little boy on the left. My wife says Josiah looks like me. That's my father. And on the right is, on your left is my sister, the older sister, not Aileen. Today I want to honor my father. My father is not perfect. He's a good man. He's a good father. Action was his love language and still is his love language. Well, sometimes people say, I love you. People tell their children they love their children. My father barely spoke these words. I can't remember him saying, I love you, to me. But through his action, through his life, there is no shadow of doubt that he loves each of his children deeply. In my 52 years, I have seen and experienced many good things from my father. I've learned from him. And today I just want to talk to you about two things that he had impressed deeply on my heart. Firstly, sacrificial love. You know, as a child growing up, I always, you know, my memory of my father is this, he's always working. Always working. He'll come back late from the office because he works overtime. He takes work back from the office and after dinner he will continue working. And sometimes I got to do this, I got to stamp documents. It was fun at first, but after a while, you know, it was very tiring. Weekends, he worked. Holidays, he worked. Not because my father was a career-minded person. Not because he wanted to climb the ladder of success. But he worked hard out of necessity. He had four children to feed, to see through school. He worked hard so that every basic need was met. You know, we did not have much. Didn't have much. I tell my children, when growing up, we only get to buy clothes one time in a year, the Chinese New Year. And then again, only two shirts and one pair of pants. And maybe in a few years, 3-4 years, you get a pair of shoes. We didn't have much, but our lives were full. We were rich. His needs, his wants, he set aside. All of these took a back seat to the needs of the family. He lived for his family, not for himself. He was a giver. He gave of himself sacrificially. And all this he did willingly, not grudgingly. I've never heard him complain. Not the way I complain nowadays. I complain that my children take up so much of my time, so I don't get to go cycling. There was no such thing for him as de-stressing himself from work. He exemplified for me responsibility. And although he was not a believer at that time, he showed the kind of love that Jesus talked about. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for another. Thank you, Pa. Gave me an example of forgiveness, something I struggle with. My father was born in Gopeng, in Perak. He came to Penang as a teenager to continue with his education. To live with his uncle. Eventually, he stopped after Form 4. Because he didn't want to be a burden to his uncle financially. Along the way, he met my mom. Fell in love. Worked hard. Saved for his marriage. He didn't tell me this, what I'm about to tell you. This was told to me by my mother. He saved his money and entrusted the money to someone who is a father figure to him. But this man swindled him of his money. He never held a grudge against that man. I went to the same kindergarten as that man's grandchild. He never told me, don't mix with that boy. His grandpa did a bad thing. Never. My father taught me it. personal lesson about forgiving, about not bearing a grudge. He was living out Romans 12, verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Proverbs 19, verse 11, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. So my father left me these two things that I want to leave with my children. I want to honor my father and my mother. Not because I want the blessing, but because it's the right thing to do. Someone wrote this, what makes a dad? God took the strength of a mountain, the majesty of a tree, the warmth of a summer sun, the calm of a quiet sea, the generous soul of nature, the comforting arm of night, the wisdom of the ages, the power of the eagle's flight, the joy of a morning in spring, the faith of a mustard seed, the patience of eternity, the depth of a family need. Then God combined these qualities when there was nothing more to add. He knew his masterpiece was complete, and so he called it Dan. Apart today, I just say this to you. You know, I've conducted a number of wake services, funeral services, and many times, you know, words of appreciation were said when the person had passed on. So, about today, I want to tell you that you are a good man. You've been a great father. I wouldn't change you for any other one. And forgive me for not always being the son that you expected. And I know the way to really honor you is to really emulate your wonderful example so that my children, so that your grandchildren will also have these character traits in them. So we come back to us, fathers. This slide Boon Wei put up just now. The legacy I want to leave is the life I must live now. There is great truth in these words. Whatever the legacy, fathers, that we want to leave our children, we must live it out now for them to see. Janice, can you please play the video clip? follow. That's what our children do. They will follow. They will imitate. And Josiah reminds me of that every day. Every day, I'm reminded of how he observes mom and dad and follows. Fathers will pass on something to their children through the life they live. And if you have not started thinking about the legacy you want to leave your children, you need to start thinking now. I read this from someone. About leaving a fitting inheritance. About leaving an example for our children to follow. First, loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 to 31. An example of loving God wholeheartedly and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Secondly, an example of living under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 14, verse 8 and 9. An example of a life of walking by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. A reverence for Scripture, for the Word of God, as being from God Himself, as being of the utmost importance. But more importantly, the example of a man who consistently studies and applies the truths of the Bible. Psalm 119:105, we know that. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hebrews 4:12, the word of the Lord is active and alive. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. James 1:25, blessed is the man who not only hears, but does the word of God. The memory of a praying father. Father who prays. And I'm reminded of Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. We are told that as was his custom, three times a day, he faced Jerusalem, got down to his knees and prayed. Even though a decree had been passed that no one should pray to any other God except to the king. The memory of a praying father. The example of a marriage where the wife is loved the way Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Ephesians 5:25. An example of a conscientious and excellent worker. Colossians 3:23. Example of honoring parents. Ephesians 6:2. A picture of a man who truly loves the church, the body of Christ, and gives himself to serve the body of Christ. A life of active serving and giving. A servant and steward of God. Romans 12, verse 4 to 21. A life where the fruit of the Holy Spirit is plainly manifest. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And finally, a father who makes his children feel that time spent with them is time well spent. You know, the memory that I have that always brings a warmth to my heart is remembering my dad taking the children fishing. I always remember that. A simple thing. I remember him taking time so that we can have fun. And children need to know that. That when we spend time with them, as Boon Wei said, you know, they have our full attention. And they don't have this idea that we are doing this reluctantly. They must feel like they are given the most focused attention. Legacy building begins at home. Legacy building begins with the father, who is the spiritual head of the home. You know, some of you would have seen the movie Courageous. Today, fathers, I would like to encourage you to take what is called the Courageous Pledge, okay? It's not something made up, it's not something from the movie, but it's something from the Bible. And I'm going to ask the ushers to hand out. Now, if you're a father here, okay, can you just put up your hand? We're just going to hand out the pledge. Over here, I think some dads have not received. Yeah. Mrs. Chong, I need one also, please. Thank you. Okay, you know, I was just thinking about my former student. He's 15 years old. He will only turn 16 in December. He's 15 years old. He's going to turn 16 in December. But he married just a few months ago. He married a student of mine, 17 years old. And I was like, he was expelled from school when he was 14 years old. He doesn't have a job. I asked, why aren't you working? I am underage, sir. So you are underage and you cannot be employed, but you are married. Yes, sir, I am married. So this is the father's resolution. Legacy building begins at home. It begins the moment a man becomes a father. A man enters into fatherhood. Like Boon Wei said, you know, the happiest day of his life and also the scariest day of his life. I remember very well the first time I saw my son, Joel. Actually, there was some emergency, you know, and cesarean needed to be done. So I asked the nurse, how long will it take? Well, it'll take a few hours. So I said, okay, I'll go for lunch, you know. I came back half an hour later, you know, and I found out that my wife had already delivered, you know. So I knocked, can I see the baby, please? Can I see the baby? And the first thing the nurse, the staff nurse said to me, where were you? Where were you? A missing father missing in action. I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children. I will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the word of God as the spiritual leader of my home. I will be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her, and be willing to lay down my life for her as Jesus Christ did for me. I will bless my children and teach them to love God with all of their hearts, all of their minds, and all of their strength. I will train them to honor authority and to live responsibly. I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy. Watch out, Najib. I will pray for others and treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion. I will work diligently to provide for the needs of my family. I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those I have wronged. I will learn from my mistakes, repent of my sins, and walk with integrity as a man answerable to God. I will seek to honor God, be faithful to His church, obey His word, and do His will. I will courageously work with the strength God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for His glory. And let me tell you this, fathers, we will fail. Every single one of this, we will fail. We cannot do this alone. We can only do this in the strength of the Holy Spirit. We can do this together. I'm very, very thankful for my band of brothers. Having a group of brothers to walk with me is not only encouraging, I think it keeps me on the right track. So fathers, on Mother's Day, the mothers got a gift. On Father's Day, you don't get a gift. You get more work to do, okay? But fathers always rise up to the challenge. Amen? You always rise up to the challenge. We rise to the call. We rise to the call of our Heavenly Father. So, if you want to make this pledge, okay? If you want to make this pledge, okay? Can I suggest that you find another man and let him know, brother, I'm making this pledge. And I give you permission to ask me from time to time how I'm doing with all these, you know. What score will you give me? Okay? And if you want to, frame it up. And wives, you can help your husband to frame it up, okay? And put it in the place where he will see it every day. I suggest at on the television or on the door of the fridge. Okay. I want to ask Rina to come and pray for all the fathers. I asked Rina because I sensed the Lord asking me to ask her to pray for the fathers. So when God prompts me like that, you know, I have to put you on the spot, okay? So fathers, will you all stand? And let us raise our hands and our hearts to God, our Father, and ask for His help to help us to live as godly fathers, to represent God the Father accurately, correctly, so that our children will see God the Father through us.
Let us pray. Father God, I want to thank you for all these men who are standing here, Lord. They've heard your call, Lord. And in this season right now, that they are fathers. And Lord, we also want to recognize all the young boys here, Lord, who will grow up into men and who one day will be fathers too. Lord, when you created Adam, you had a relationship with him, Lord. You walked with him. You gave him instructions. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will anoint the ears of the fathers standing here, that they will hear your words. You will give them direction, Lord, so they will follow after you, Lord. And as they live their lives, Lord, Lord, we pray that you give them the strength and the courage to live for you, Lord. The values in this world is all upside down, Lord. They are not your values, Lord. And we pray that you will give them grace and the courage to stand firm, to stand true, that despite everything and everyone may say, Lord, they will continue to follow after you and only you, Lord. And as you lead them, Lord, I pray that you will also give them words, you will teach them actions, and you give them communication skills so that they will be able to pass on all of this, Lord, to their children and to the people who come around them, Lord. So we want to thank you for these men, Lord, who have heard your call to be husbands and fathers, and also for the young boys here, who, Lord, who will one day also be husbands and fathers, Lord, that you will, your hand of protection is upon them, that you will keep them safe, and as they face challenges, Lord, which it will arise on a day-to-day basis, Lord, you will give them wisdom, discernment, grace, and Lord, you'll pour out your mercy and your love upon them so that they will know that they are your child and they are not alone, that they that you partner with them, Lord, to be the best kind of father. And Lord, when they do that, Lord, all eyes will be upon them, and Lord, that they will direct it back to you, Lord. So all glory goes to you, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord, that you enable these fathers to also share in your glory. You're a great and loving and merciful God, and we want to honor you, Lord. We give you all praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So we close the service now again to the fathers. Blessed Father's Day to you. May the grace of God the Father be upon us continually. God bless all of you. Please stay back for a time of fellowship. We serve refreshments over at the porch area. Have a wonderful week ahead.